Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever wanted to learn to do something new? Maybe you wanted to learn to ride a bike or swim in a pool. Or maybe you want to learn how to paint or play the piano. Learning to do new things is an important part of being a human. And even if it takes some hard work, learning is exciting. We can also learn how to do new things in the natural world, like work in a garden or hike in the forest. Sometimes it can be easy to look at something that someone else is doing and think, I can't do that. That's too hard for me. But today's guest is a great example of how we can be brave and learn to do new things.
When I was in seventh grade, I believe, I had a math teacher who was a beekeeper, and he was hopelessly dorky. We may have even used the word beekeeper. He's a beekeeper, of all things, as a derisive sort of way of talking about it. But on the other hand, I grew up outside, and in the back of my head, I knew this was something I wanted to do someday.
This is Jess Leahy. She's an author, podcaster, and educator. But one of her newer titles is beekeeper. After wondering about starting beekeeping for many years, Jess had an opportunity to jump in placed right in front of her.
I finally felt like I was ready when a beehive dropped, almost, well, figuratively dropped in my lap. But my neighbor moved and decided the project that he had in his mind, this great beekeeping adventure, was never going to happen for him. And so he gave it to me with the promise that if honey ever came out of this, he would get some.
Now that she had a beehive from her neighbor and a promise to keep, Jess needed to acquire another important element of her beekeeping project, the bees themselves.
There's a place here in Vermont called Northwoods Apiary, and I purchased what's called a nuc. You can purchase a nuclear colony, like a small colony that comes with a couple of frames of baby bees and some resources like honey and pollen and things like that, and had to order that months in advance. So the big day arrived, and we drove up there and picked up my bees. We had to drive through the mountains, and it was so beautiful. And you pull up, and I did not know what this was going to be like, but you pull up, and there are about 100 beehives out there in a field with a big electric fence around them. Bees everywhere in the air, and a big line of cars waiting for pickup time, which I think was at like 4 o'clock. They gave us a window of time. And I was ready with my laundry bag because someone told me that sometimes the bees can get loose from the box they give them to you in. And so if you're an enclosed car, you're gonna want like a laundry mesh bag. So I had that, and we were like 15 cars back. When our turn came, we pulled up and I handed them the bag and they put the bees in the back seat of our car and we were off.
I don't know how I would feel about driving in an enclosed car with a whole colony of bees, but Jess had her laundry bag and they were able to transport their entire family of bees home to their farm in Vermont. Now, Jess didn't just grab her bees and go in blind. She had done a lot of research to know what her bees needed to be successful.
If you could see what's happening in my office right now, this room is filled with books. I am a super nerd. I love the research. So if there's something that I'm interested in, chances are I own every book on the subject or have borrowed them from the library and have every article on every subject. I love it.
In addition to reading all about bees and beekeeping, Jess also benefited from having neighbors who were also beekeepers.
So there are a lot of beekeepers in my area, and I'm a member of both the Vermont Beekeepers Association and the Vermont Women's Beekeeping Group. And what's fun about going to those meetings, we had one recently about looking for varroa mites, which is the big killer that's been taking out a lot of bees. It's an invasive species that has come here, and we've not really figured out how to kill it effectively. So they had a meeting about that, and the people who showed up, there were like 30 women, and some didn't even have bees yet and were just planning, and some had been keeping bees for many years. And there's a lot of discussion. Beekeepers tend to be fairly polite people. There's a lot of discussion about how one should manage varroa mites. There's so many different ways to handle it. So I loved seeing all these women from total beginner to expert all learning from each other.
It's always helpful to learn to do new things with help from friends. But even with her research and her beekeeping community, Jess still faced challenges with her bees. It's one thing to have an idea of what to do, and another thing entirely to have to actually do it with your own hands.
A couple weeks into the beekeeping experience, my husband said, you know, I don't think I've ever seen you this intimidated by anything before. And I said, I am. I feel like I have to rehearse in my head and I don't want to kill any bees, but you inevitably kill a couple bees and I want to do right by them. This is a huge responsibility. I'm responsible for these many thousands of lives and it's on me. And I felt that responsibility.
One of the big challenges Jess faced with her bees was local predators. Humans aren't the only ones who enjoy honey, and lots of animals like eating bees, too. Many people keep wild animals away from their bees by putting electric fences around their hives.
I did not purchase my electric fence. They're so expensive. So I didn't purchase it right off the bat. I knew we had bears in the area because I have game cameras and I know what's out there. We have bobcats, we have bears, we have raccoons and skunks and all the things. And so I knew that this could be a possibility. And I knew that they could smell honey. They can smell honey from up to 2 miles away. So every morning when I leave my bedroom, I look out my window to see if the hive was still there. And one morning it wasn't anymore. So I ordered my electric fence, but in the meantime, there were none available locally. I realized I couldn't prevent future attacks, so I figured I might as well film them. So I took my game cameras and I got multiple angles on my beehives. And so for 5 nights in a row until all of my fencing equipment arrived, I would go out every single morning, put my hive back together again. It had been toppled over, both the brood box, the bottom box that's big, and then a slightly smaller box on top of that, and its little roof had all been knocked right over. And so there was just nothing on that stand anymore. And there was a big trampled trail where a bear had either come in from uphill or left by uphill because there was a big trampled path leading up through the wildflowers. The bees were so mad, and they only got more and more mad as each day went by. And it was an adventure every morning.
Even though Jess was soon able to get her electric fence set up around her beehive, she was still frustrated by this beekeeping mistake.
I felt incredibly guilty and a little bit of shame because I knew better. I live in bear country. It is not their fault. The bears are not just interested in the honey, like we see Winnie the Pooh with his honey jar. Yes, they love honey. It's delicious. It's sweet. What they really, really love, though, are the larvae and the pupa, because that's extremely high in fat and protein for the bears. And especially this time of year, we're about to head into winter, and our bears around here are going to have to hide out for the winter in their little dens, and they need as much fat and protein as they can get. So this is an incredible source. You know, bravo to them for being able to sniff it out and find it. I knew better, and I could have done better for my bees.
Even though she made a mistake, Jess knew that this was all part of the learning process, and she didn't give up. Jess kept on working with her bees, learning more about them and how she can take better care of them.
I happen to have slightly more aggressive bees. No matter how much smoke you use to calm them down, there's all this sort of getting louder and louder buzzing all around you. And the amygdala, the part of your brain that is the part that really sparks the like fight or flight response or freeze, is saying to you, this is not right. You need to get out of here. And so I'm trying to do things very calmly while the primitive part of my brain is saying, no, no. This is wrong. Go, 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 go. I think it's just a matter of, for me anyway, it's going to be a matter of practice and of learning how to deal with various situations. I didn't know, for example, that you shouldn't blow on bees because it upsets them. And I spent the first couple times I was in the hive trying to blow a bee away from something I was trying to look at, not realizing I was inadvertently making them very upset with me. It's not an easy process. Humans have been raising bees for millennia, but it's anything but simple.
Even though she might make a few mistakes, Jess experiences a lot of joy as she takes care of her bees.
The more you come to understand just how little we fully understand about bees, but how complicated and how amazing they are and how awe-inspiring they are as a creature, as a thing that exists on this planet and does not, P.S., need us at all. Like, they're going to be fine. If they swarmed and took off and became wild bees out in the woods, they'd probably do better than in my contraption that makes it easier for me to harvest honey or check on them. They'd be fine without me. I am a steward. Anytime there's the opportunity to learn new things, it's never dark and scary. There's always light around the next corner, right?
Learning to do new things, even when we face challenges, can fill our lives with awe and wonder. Jess certainly feels a lot of awe when she's out in her garden.
We use the term awe, and something that strikes you with awe strikes you with this wonder. But there's also some fearfulness to it, right? There's to be awful is to be full of awe, right? When I talk about the word awful, like, oh my gosh, this wasp, it is awful. At the same time, there is the potential for me to come at it from the other perspective and be full of awe. Have you ever looked at a paper wasp's nest? They're gorgeous. They're so beautiful. And the way they're built is fascinating. And I think there's this line between, yes, that scares me out there, and that's what can lead to fear of snakes or fear of bugs or fear of the dark. And yet at the same time, out in that dark are the lightning bugs and the sounds of the owls and the bats and all of the cool things that we may not see if we're not willing to step into that place, you know, where there's a little bit of fear, but also a lot of awe. I love that place.
I love that place too. Just like Jess, we can learn to do new things in the natural world. With research, help from friends, and a willingness to try again when we make mistakes, we can learn to do more in the natural world and open ourselves up to all sorts of opportunities for awe and wonder.
It's good to research and learn to do something outside that's new to you. You might make mistakes, but if you try and try again, you can connect with nature and animal friends.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Jessica Leahy and her experiences with beekeeping. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called, She's Thrown Her Heart and Soul into Beekeeping. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.